You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, before you get married, you should plan for your divorce. That's the advice of an author you will hear from this hour. Plus, Kelley Blue Book is on the show with the best buy automobiles for the 2015 model year. Let's meet the friends. Just listed in the encyclopedia and the dictionary, it's Erin Myers.
Hello. So it's time for selfie to move over because Oxford Dictionaries has just picked out its word of the year. I will tell you what it is.
Bigger and brighter than life, Chris Martin is here.
You know, New York is one of those cities that has to have the biggest and the best of everything, and they've done it again. I'll explain.
Jay Campidonia has the day off.
Oh.
So sad.
He'll be back next show. No, it is sad that he's not here.
Yes.
But it's not sad for why he's not here.
No, that is true.
He's doing fine. So
I don't want anyone to worry.
Stop
he's
sending
okay.
cards and flowers.
Yes.
He's okay.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Let's get things started, Erin, with you. Talking about, the Oxford Dictionary that comes up with the words of the year?
They have their word of the year, yes. And I guess
I only read the Merriam-Webster, so.
Oh, well, I don't have their word of the year just yet. But I do have Oxford Dictionaries, and last year it was selfie. This year, their international word of the year is vape. Vape, yes, which is to inhale and exhale the vapor produced by an electronic cigarette or actually the device. This can be called a vape as well. And it beat out a couple other words, which are I'd never heard of any of them, which are bay.
Bay?
Bay. So instead of saying baby all the way through, you say bay, and it's a term of endearment for one's romantic partner. So it's the lazy version of baby,
like
in my
opinion. Like you have slack mouth.
Yes, bay.
I thought it was a term for a body of water slightly coming into the land.
No, that's B-A-Y.
Oh.
Yes, this is B-A-E, okay. So it's even spelled a little differently.
Bay.
Bud tender is another one.
What? Butt tender?
Bud tender. A person whose job is to serve customers in a cannabis dispensary.
Bud tender.
Normcore, a trend in which ordinary unfashionable clothing is worn as a deliberate fashion statement.
Wow.
And slacktivism, which is your way of supporting political or social causes, but you do it online, so it's a little bit easier and kind of lazy version.
You yell a lot online, you flame out online, then you don't vote. Slacktivism.
Yes, right there.
But those words were beaten out, but they're all added to the Oxford.
That was the short list. They're on the online list, I believe, and now they're deciding if they're going to put vape in the print edition.
Am I the only one who thinks those vape pens or whatever they are look like crack pipes?
No. I agree with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, it looks like somebody's doing drugs when they have those.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, and how do you know?
You don't.
Yeah. Jinx again.
Yeah.
I did that to Jay last
week. And some of them are, by the way. I'm sure a lot of those, I'm not sure, but I've heard that some of those vape pens, you can mix THC in with them. And
sure.
There could be people out there.
Why not?
Smoking reefer.
Driving around, operating heavy equipment.
No,
right.
Officer, I swear, it's just my vape.
Yes. Helping kids across the street, crossing guards.
It does seem like a big enough phenomenon to deserve its own word. I just don't know if it's going to last. You know, something else seems like it's going to come along and take over for vaping.
I don't know. I just tell you that I don't want to go to the bakery and see that the person that made my birthday cake is back there vaping some kind of illicit drug.
Right.
All right. What else, Erin? Let's see. Oh, we're talking about slackers and the internet and all this sort of thing. It seems anything you type or text or whatever, it gets into the wrong hands, and then everybody in the world gets to read it.
Yes, they do. And this guy's kind of lucky because we only know his as Bobo because it's a text message that went viral. And it was his breakup text message to a girl that he had been dating for 7 weeks, and he gave her 6 points on why he was breaking up with her. And so these are the points. She refused to update her relationship status on Facebook to in a relationship.
No.
She wouldn't include him in things like a wedding weekend. He thought he should have been the one to escort her. Number three, you are rude to my cat, and that makes me feel uncomfortable, he wrote. You do not share your time equally, and by now your boyfriend should be taking priority. Wow. After 7 weeks, he should be number one.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Really? Seven weeks?
I would agree with all of them up to this point.
Really?
Except for maybe being rude to the cat.
Well, yeah.
She was allergic to cats. I will give her that one. Because I am a cat person, but she is allergic, they say.
If you don't take your boyfriend or girlfriend of 7 weeks to a wedding, you're making a statement right then and there. That
really?
It's not very serious.
I agree.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a long time. 7 weeks? That's a long time.
Sure.
7 weeks?
And if you go to a wedding solo, well, I guess so, huh?
Well,
I guess if it's your best friend, you don't want
to
go
to wedding solos.
So
that's what I thought guys like that.
Relationship
the bridesmaids.
Demarcation, really. Yeah. Because are you just dating, meaning that you are free to see other people, or are you officially committed boyfriend, girlfriend? So 7 weeks of that.
Really?
I think, you go someplace. I think it's just expected that the other is going with you.
Wow. Maybe I'm a slowpoke. I don't know. But there's two more that I can tell you.
Oh, good.
Swearing. Her swearing was unladylike.
Trucker mouth?
Yes, apparently. And she would not disclose how many sexual partners she had, which makes him think it's upwards of three, and anything more than that is just unacceptable.
Boy, is
Whoa.
He confused.
So
yes.
He's tough.
Three?
Yes. Yeah.
My gosh, what
if
a
she's
hussy.
Not telling him, then it's definitely more than three. That's all I'm saying. So.
All right. Very good. Mm-hmm. Chris, not you yet, Chris. We want one more from you, Aaron, while we're at it, because we're on a roll. And this one, I see that the Web Munchkins are working feverishly to get this on the website. I don't know why. And if you actually want to see this, shame on you. Aaron,
yeah.
Describe it for us.
It's a little bit disturbing, actually, because, you know, apparently in Peru, there's a drink that's very popular. They say it helps with stress. It's good for anemia and bronchitis and low sex drive. And apparently it's made out of frogs. And unfortunately, here's where it gets bad. The frogs that they use are critical endangered. That's how they are listed. And the process, which is shown in the video, is really awful. The girl, the vendor, takes the frog out of an aquarium, hits it on a countertop until it dies, then skins it and throws the whole thing into a blender with carrots and maca root and honey.
That
and
sounds
that
healthy.
That is what people like to drink over there. And they say it's, you know, I think it's more cultural, but there is no scientific evidence that it cures anything. But poor
all right,
little frogs.
I think we need to cut off all diplomatic relationships with Peru now.
These frogs, it's very sad to watch.
Yes.
Yeah, that is sad.
It makes
sad.
Me
How
want
many...
to go rescue all the frogs.
How many times did she have to whack it on the
it
counter?
It was a couple, two, three times, and it's hard. Like,
brutal.
Boom, boom, boom. Yes, I just described
it.
No,
I'm watching this guy. Oh, look, the mom's serving it to a little girl. Here, drink this, honey.
Frog juice.
Yeah.
What happened to just licking frogs on the back to get an effect from them?
Oh, man, I'm just watching them.
Where did that come
from?
I don't know.
You've never heard that before?
No, I thought frogs, if you did that, you'd get warts or something.
I've heard of this, but I'm wondering now if the guy behind the counter who serves the cannabis is a bud tender. And we have the baristas at the coffee shop. What is this frog juice person called? Any ideas?
Well, I don't know. I wish something would have came in.
Frog-user.
Ribbit. I'm thinking of the word ribbit.
Ribbit.
Ribbiter.
A ribbiter.
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 Ribbit whacker. I don't know. Man, that's brutal.
It is.
All right. Off to you, Chris, or on to you now. Let's find out what's going on with, is this in Times Square?
It is in Times Square. As a matter of fact, it's at the Marriott Hotel in the bow tie of Times Square, which is apparently where like 6th Street and Broadway intersect.
Sure.
And tonight, in front of that hotel, New York City is going to be launching the largest and most expensive billboard of all time, Phil.
Of all time? Large? How large?
This thing is 8 foot tall. And while that doesn't seem too incredibly large, it's also 100 yards wide. It's a football field wide.
8 by 100. So the diagonal is like a million inches?
Yes. Somewhere in there.
That was some good math right there.
Well done.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it has 24 million pixels on it. So the clarity on the screen and the pictures it produces is just amazing. Right now, this screen is sitting at ground level. It's sort of wrapped in a U-shape around the base of the building.
Yeah.
But then tonight, what they're going to do is they're going to raise it. It's got a countdown on the screen, so it's counting down until they raise it.
Right.
They'll raise it up 8 stories, and then this company Universal Everything Studio, they're going to animate on the screen till the 24th of November, but then Google takes over as their primary advertiser.
Does it cost a little bit to get on there?
It costs a lot, Phil. It costs $2.5 million for 4 weeks of advertising on this display board.
And you're rotated in with others. You're not on there constant.
I would imagine. I can't imagine you're just going to show the Google emblem up there for 4 weeks straight. You got to rotate.
Yeah.
Well, good luck getting any sleep on a park bench in Times Square.
Right. It's already hard, but yeah, that's going to make it a little worse.
Oh, you've tried it?
Who hasn't?
All right. Hey, you feel like a nice cold glass of water, Chris?
I do, yeah. I have a bottle here of purified drinking water, and it's delicious. But San Diego City Council, they actually just joined several other California cities, and they're looking at turning their wastewater into drinking water. And your wastewater would be gray water, like your shower water, your toilet water, things like that. Not your toilet waste. You know what I mean? If you go to a septic tank or if it goes into the sewage system, then it's not going to be that water. They're not separating out your bodily fluids from it.
Oh.
But they're doing this to avoid severe droughts. And they're going to vote on it today.
Mm-hmm.
The vote is to produce 83 million gallons of recycled water by 2035.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
83 million gallons, that's like a third of the city's water usage. And actually, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Orange County has been doing this process since 2008.
Have they?
Yeah.
I knew it tasted funny.
Right.
Yeah. So the council members of City Hall, they just urinate into a bucket and then they send that off to the voters.
That's
drink,
it.
Right?
They say, here, treat this. Now, they got to run it through a heavy filtration system. I mean, there's all kinds of hydromechanics that go on behind this.
Yeah.
But in Orange County, they've been doing 70 million gallons of recycled water since 2008. They're upping theirs up to 100 million gallons because, listen, we're in a drought here in California.
True.
We
got
to do something.
True.
And we still got to go.
San Francisco Bay Area, they're considering doing it.
Yeah. All right.
We need rain.
Only makes sense.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's do a rain dance.
At what age do you think men and women enjoy the best sex?
Well, men, it's like 18, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Or whenever you hit puberty. Maybe it's 13. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't even know what you're doing at that point. I mean, just the best, most satisfying, most exciting, the whole thing. Any ideas?
I tell you what. I don't know.
There was a survey, and I have the age for men and women. It's different. And you'll hear it next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are here. Jay has the day off. Conventional wisdom says women have their best sex in their mid-30s, right?
I was going to say that.
I'd always thought it was 40s, like early 40s.
It's supposedly when they hit the sweet spot of sexual confidence, body image, and a good committed relationship. But a new survey says that's not true.
Oh, no?
No.
See, I would think it would be 30s.
There's a company in Atlanta. They're called Love Honey. They make sex toys. And they asked 1,000 adults between the ages of 18 and 65 about their sexual peak, meaning that they had the best sex of their lives. And based on their results, men have their best sex when they are 32.
Huh.
32.
Oh, my best years are ahead of me. Excellent.
Well, yeah.
You have something to look forward to.
While the average woman has her best sex when she is only 26. So, sorry, 27
really?
And aboveers.
That's
6 years before men.
Bummer.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. My client list for my side job would say different.
Oh.
Yes.
Your side. No.
Only they're a little bit more mature.
Yes. All right. And let's see. People, you always used to say that men peak at 18, which is what you suggested before we broke there, Chris, and women at 35. Now, maybe not. The survey also found that the average man lost his virginity when he was 17. The average woman...
That's going to be younger.
Higher or lower?
Younger?
Yeah, I would say so too, yeah.
16.
Yeah, I thought so. I figured the girl would be younger.
Well, women.
That's just
do.
From knowing my friends. No,
hussies.
I'm just kidding.
Right. I'm kidding.
I hope none of them are listening.
No, why? I want them all
kidding.
To listen. Come
they'll,
on.
They'll call after and be like, Aaron, I'm not naming names at least.
Well, I'm disappointed that you're
yes.
discouraging people
no,
from listening.
No, please listen.
Okay.
No,
thanks.
Please do.
Now, I could tell you somebody who's not getting sex with a lady anytime soon, even though his relationship status is changing. Who's that, Aaron?
Charles Manson, of all people. He is getting married, supposedly, next month. Even though he's been in jail for 45 years, he will be marrying a 26-year-old woman named Afton Elaine Burton. And you know,
she's going to miss her sexual peak altogether, isn't she? By marrying
yeah.
a guy that she can't...
Oh, yeah. I didn't
because
mean, 26,
I think
she's right there.
The
yeah.
prison rules don't allow for Charles
mm-hmm.
Manson.
Nope, no conjugal visits, so he's not getting any. But here's why she said she's marrying him. She's interested in working on his case. And so she says that by marrying him, it will allow her to get information that is not available to non-relatives. And that's all she said. But I just say, cuckoo.
She believes he's innocent, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and she wants
does.
To be in the papers.
And it's working.
Yeah. And I doubt she's going to be monogamous with him, being a 26-year-old woman.
No.
Doesn't seem likely.
It's not like he'd know anyway.
But he is going to need somebody to step on the hose, you know, when it's time. And I don't think you can do that unless you're married.
Hmm. Step on the hose. I like that. You know who she should sleep with?
Huh.
Members of the parole board.
Oh.
That might help.
See?
That
see?
Might help.
Always thinking.
Sneaky yeah. mind you got there.
Sneaky.
That would help his case.
Yeah. You know what? We haven't had rain in Southern California, it seems like, in 9 years. And we get very little snow in the local mountains. The ski resorts up there in our local mountains are Big Bear, Arrowhead, Wrightwood, places like that. They're just hating life because there's been like a week of snow combined for the last I don't know how many years. But once you leave our part of the country... It's like the ice age. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, one of the things that I do is I watch the ABC Nightly News with my man Brian Muir, who that guy looks like he was just cut from a cast as a newscaster. He looks like he was cut from stone.
You like him, huh?
He's all right, you know.
Can we get Mr. Muir on the program?
I feel like he was bred by two professional newscasters in, you know, in
That's
a laboratory.
So funny.
I want to see Chris break down. Let's get Muir in the studio.
One thing you hear him and all the other newscasters, especially the weathercasters, say all the time now is polar vortex, Arctic blasts. Great Lake Effect, all this stuff. And then they show this giant Doppler map with this huge blue wave coming down from Canada and covering the entire United States.
Yeah.
And it was in the really contained to the Midwest and the South, but now it's moving east over the Great Lakes, which is where this Great Lake Effect comes. And we're learning that at this time right now, 50% of the United States has snowfall on it.
50%?
50%. This time last year, it was somewhere around 10%. So something really is going on with the weather. But the other thing that my man Dallas Rains taught me
yeah.
was that the reason we're not getting the moisture over here is because of the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's something about the pressure in the air won't allow it to get high enough to get over the Rockies. So it's keeping it off the West Coast.
Yeah.
And it's
By
all
the
coming
way,
down from the north.
When you meet your buddy, Brian Muir,
yeah.
be sure to call him David Muir. Cause that's his...
Oh, is it David
know, that's
Muir?
What it took me.
That's his real name.
Yes.
Oh, David Muir. I called him Randy Muir the first time.
Oh, no wonder he won't return your calls.
No kidding.
Got to get the name right first, yes.
Yeah, yeah good, well, though. All this is leading to what we've got coming is 24 to 36 inches of more snow at a rate of 5 to 6 inches per hour coming
Holy
over the next
few
days.
Just not here.
So. It's going to be intense.
Hey, I have another survey for you. 40% of people say their kids are their favorite people to shop for at Christmas. And dads came in dead last. Only 2% said their dad is their favorite person to shop for. And here are five more stats from this horrible survey. Overall, the top five presents we're planning to buy for people are gift cards, clothing, toys, video games, and electronics. Now, as a dad... I would like all of those things.
Really?
Yeah. I put clothing maybe last, but Video games, electronics, toys. I love toys. Get me one of those remote control helicopters.
There you go.
I'll fly that. Get me a drone. I'll fly that all day long.
That's a big kid toy right
there. Yeah. The top three things men think women want are clothing, jewelry, and gift cards. Is that right?
I'm going to say no, but I'm a weird girl, so no on the jewelry. But yeah, I think average women probably like clothes and jewelry.
And women think guys want gift cards, cash, and tools. They are so right about tools.
Tools, really?
Right.
You can't go wrong with tools.
Guys love tools.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, don't get a lady something that plugs in, but, give us a plugged-in tool or one of those, you know, Ryobis that with the battery that you just kind of pass along from one tool to the other.
Yeah, really? Yeah, see, maybe cordless kit.
Maybe the guys I've been hanging out with are tools then because none of them even know how to use them. They don't know how to use them. I'm the one who I realize I'm like the one fixing TVs and setting things up. I've put my own dressers together.
Oh.
And guys I've known recently are like, oh, I don't want to hurt myself.
I don't want to break a nail.
Yeah, pretty much. Their nails look better than mine.
By the way, times have changed because 50% of kids this year will buy presents.
Half of
the kids are going to buy presents.
I like that.
I don't know what percentage of that 50% will buy presents for themselves, but on average, they'll shop for four different people. 32% of people who plan to shop on Cyber Monday will be doing it in person at a store and not online. And 14% of married men plan to give their wife something kitchen-related, which is a mistake, right? But 26% of women say they actually want something for the kitchen.
Really?
Oh.
So these are mixed messages, ladies.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to do. Now, on the flip side, 31% of women think men want tools, but only 21% of men actually do.
I think, yeah.
So
I
get your woman the new frog blender.
I was going to say the same thing, yes.
Look at that. Mm-hmm.
The new
great
frog,
minds.
The frog blender. Oh, my gosh. Hey, I know you're all very excited about getting married, those of you who are engaged, all the planning that goes into it. But coming up, you'll hear all the reasons why you should start planning for the end of your marriage now. That's right. Plan for your divorce before you get married. That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in, and you'll thank me later. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are here. Jay has the day off. So we pose the question today, should you plan your divorce before you say, I do? Joining us live is the author of the book, 10 Weeks to Love, available now in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, Tawny Carr. Hi, Tawny. Talk about a negative Nelly. Aren't you setting people up for self-fulfilling prophecy here?
Oh, well, no, you're actually doing just the opposite. You know, when I did a project a number of years ago, we planned for failure. And what that meant was that we faced up front all the things which might lead to a disastrous outcome on that business project. And by doing that, we already put in place, well, if this happens, this is how we'll deal with it. And we got agreement from everybody. It turned out to be the smoothest project that I had done to date. So if you apply that concept, this is not the same as saying, hey, if it doesn't work out, we can always get a divorce. Completely the opposite. You're simply saying in advance, let's take a look at the things that we may be reluctant to discuss because we may not want to know the answer. If you've already decided to marry somebody, for example, I had two prior marriages. If I had done this with both of those marriages, I know I would not have married my second husband, which ended disastrously. And I might not have married my first husband because we would have talked about things that were difficult or uncomfortable.
Besides, those guys were a couple of loads anyway, weren't they?
They were such low lives.
Yeah.
So one was really nice. The other was a creep, but, you know.
Oh, man.
A little bit of everything.
You know, I guess a lot of this makes sense because, you know, we make money today and we'd love to spend it, but we put it away for a rainy day. We buy life insurance so that when we die, there's money left over for our survivors. And so we make all of these plans, and it doesn't mean that if I buy life insurance, I'm going to walk in front of an oncoming truck today.
Well, that's correct. And it's no different than when you go on a cruise, you know, or even in an airplane. They're telling you all these terrible things. If we go down, you know, the plane crashes and what are you going to do and how do you get out? Same with a cruise. You do your lifeboat drills right at the beginning of the cruise so that you sleep better at night knowing that if, God forbid, something terrible should happen, mm-hmm. you already know how to handle it.
So the full title of your book is 10 Weeks to Love, How I Went From Divorced and Miserable to Happily Married Without Losing Weight, Having Plastic Surgery, or Being Completely Sane. And obviously you draw from your own experience to arrive at the advice that you give, divorced twice. So walk us through the process. And I don't exactly know what this 10 weeks to love means. Is that the courtship with this new guy that you actually found that he's the man, he's the real thing?
Well, no, it doesn't. But there is a math question there. What adds up to 10? You know, after the breakup of my last marriage, which ended very badly and was very contentious, I spent a little bit of time wallowing in self-pity and poor me and all that sort of stuff because I had lost my home, I'd lost my job, I'd lost the marriage. I mean, it was not how I expected to spend the middle part of my life. So once I said, okay, that's it, I have to really take this on and I have to take responsibility for my part in the breakup of that marriage. And I spent about 10 weeks reinventing myself. So the 10 weeks has to do with the amount of time that I spent really looking at what the hell had happened and what could I do that I could take responsibility for, that I could make better. At the end of that time, and it's kind of a fun story, here I am 45, and I meet this fellow who had only turned 29 2 weeks prior.
Whoa, mama.
And we spent the day together because he helped me move a piece of furniture in a borrowed truck to a garage sale. And we talked and talked and talked. At the end of this day, and within a couple of days, we decided to get married. And we did so 3 weeks later. And that was 27 years ago. And he still thinks I'm eye candy, and I still think that he's just the greatest, sexiest guy in the world. So, you know, I got to tell you that I listened to your podcast on the Emory University, results that they came up with and that they published about the age difference. And I really have to take exception with it, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We cannot change our age. Our physical age is whatever the heck it is. So when you publish something that says, hey, you know, don't plan on this because you're too old or you're too young, it doesn't put control in the person's hands as to what they can do if they meet somebody that's a vastly different age. What is more realistic and more real is what do you do with what is real for you and how you can work with somebody else that may have different realities. Now you're putting the control in the hands of the individuals involved. If I had seen those statistics, now by the time my second marriage came and went, I was a pretty strong individual by that time. So I might not have been swayed by those statistics because they're pretty much gloom and doom.
Yeah.
However, our young people today, too many of them are opting out of marriage because they see the tabloids, they see maybe their parents as an example, they look at a statistic like Emory University published and say, well, what's the point? And I just don't want to see that. So, you know, what I'm doing is I'm saying take control of your life. It's about making a connection with somebody regardless of their age. Clearly, that applied to my husband and me. We are having so much fun. I mean, I'm 72, for God's sakes, and to have my husband come into my office and look at me and longingly and say, you know, I'm just here to admire you. I mean, obviously, I did something right.
Yeah. Well, in that in that brief period that you went from meeting and delivering some item that you had to take or put out of storage, and then getting married in just really in a blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah.
At what point did you actually sit down and plan for your divorce?
Well, you know, we did. We started talking about everything. I mean, I had no problem discussing everything under the sun, moon, and stars with Charlie, and he did the same with me. We sat down and said, okay, so what things might come up that could be showstoppers. And it was right at the beginning that we did that because neither one of us wanted to have this end badly. Mm-hmm. So we said, well, then we better talk about the tough issues. I mean, what if one person cheats? How are we going to deal with that? If you ask some people, they'll say, well, off with their heads, it's divorce. Other people are going to say, well, wait a minute, let's find out what happened there. Go to counseling or whatever they elect to do. But those tough issues had to be discussed because neither one of us wanted to end in divorce. We cared too much about each other as friends, aside from marriage, that we just didn't want to take a chance.
We're speaking with Tawny Carr, talking about planning your divorce before your wedding. The book's called 10 Weeks to Love. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And Chris on the program here, who is still looking forward to his sexual prime, has a question for you, Tawny.
I do. Tawny, it sounds like what your book is really encouraging is not so much like a way for two people to get together across from a table and discuss how they're going to split up their assets if everything goes wrong. But it sort of forces them into almost a therapeutic situation where they have to discuss these hard topics, as you say. And in doing that, you sort of discover more about the person that you might not have dug into had you not forced yourself into this situation. It's almost like counseling situation with each other.
It's almost like pre-counseling. I mean, you know, you're sitting there, you hope you don't have to have a reason to go to counseling, but if you do, you do. But if you're talking about it, it's prevention is what it is. And you discover things about yourself. For example, you may discover something about that person in how they would deal with things that you don't agree with. If the person says, well, whatever I say goes, if that comes up, this is the way it's going to be, we're not going to discuss it. And the other person being more independent-minded and saying, well, hold on, this is just the way you deal with things could become an issue, and you discover that when you talk about the tough thing. You know, you become closer. Like when Charlie and I sat down and had our discussions, we became closer because we saw that even more than what we had initially thought, we had more in common. There were more shared agreements and shared realities, despite the age difference, that told us that we had a really good chance of making this work over time.
Tawny, I think Erin here is so excited. She knows a thing or two about breakups, but she's so excited that there may be a guy that's like 12 or 17 years younger than
that's
her
awesome.
That might be Mr. Right.
That would be awesome. I'm all for that. No, I have a question for you. So you talked about cheating and things like that. What other topics would you suggest if you're going to have this conversation? What would be the top five things you think are the most important for people to discuss?
Bathroom habits.
That's a really important question, and it's going to really depend on those individuals. Let me give you a case in point. If you've got people that are really devout Catholics, and one says, "Look, that if you ever decide to change religions, I'm going to have a real problem with that, especially if they have kids. So let's talk about if that was to happen, because those things do happen. How would we deal with that? Would the kids suddenly spend half their time going to Catholic school and the other half going to synagogue or whatever?" So religion certainly is a problem. For some people, not me, but for some people, politics, oh my gosh, you may as well be talking about religion when you talk about politics. Well, I'm a committed Republican and I'm a committed Democrat, and if you ever change, we can't be in the same room because we have so vastly different viewpoints. So it's not a simple answer of 1 to 5. I think the big issues are religion, politics, sex, certainly abuse. If somebody becomes an alcoholic, which we certainly never want to see, how are you going to deal with it? It's not even that you're going to say, hey, I'm going to divorce you if you have one too many drinks. It's more a matter of saying, if I discover that you have a problem, how should I approach you on it? Even talk to the person and say, look, if I see that you've got a problem with alcohol, how do you want me to approach you to best resolve it? Do you want me to nag you? Do you want me to leave you alone? It's just, what are the key issues that people have? And I think these are the sorts of things that come up, and they're the things that should be discussed, because then once you've dealt with that, then you can enjoy yourselves more because, okay, we don't need to go there because we already did. We already have a plan. We already have a game plan.
Tawny, so glad that you found your perfect relationship, your perfect mate. Tawny Carr, T-A-N-I-I is how she spells Tawny. And the book is called 10 Weeks to Love, How I Went From Divorced and Miserable to Happily Married Without Losing Weight, Having Plastic Surgery, or Being Completely Sane. And thank you very much for giving us some tips and reminding us that we need to look at ourselves from time to time and get things fixed in a hurry. So
how about?
There you go. Good luck with the book and continued success with you and Charlie.
Well, thanks so much, and thanks for the opportunity to talk with your listeners.
All right, there she is. And by the way, if you're together or you're alone or whatever it is, if you're in the market for a new car, how do you know you're not buying a piece of junk? Kelley Blue Book just came out with its list of best buys for the 2015 model year, and you need to hear what's on it. And that's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, by the way, go to our How to Listen page at philhewlettandfriends.com. There are so many ways you can watch us live when we're on. You can get the app. You can listen and you name it. We're on iHeart Radio. We're on iTunes, Stitcher. All of the favorite players are there. Whatever it is, subscribe to the show. Just like us, love us, listen to us wherever you are. And maybe in your car, listen to us, right? On your dashboard, through the Bluetooth or whatever. And when you buy a car or truck, isn't it true you want to know that you're getting the best bang for your buck? Unless you've just got stupid money and you're saying, okay, I want that car, let's try it for a couple of weeks. But often there's no way to know that you got a good value for that car until you get it home and you put some miles on it. Joining us live now to give you, is this not right? Is this not what we're doing right here? Hang on a second. Reset. 145 is what I've got. Am I wrong? I'm wrong. Okay.
That doesn't happen very often.
But it can
Phil
happen.
Phil is rarely wrong.
But it can happen to the best of us sometimes.
Yeah, it can. So we're not talking to Kelly Blue Book right now.
I got 215.
Okay. Well, so we have producers for
it. Yeah, well, that's anticipation now for the best cars.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to say it completely differently next time.
Surprise us.
So coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, the Kelly Blue Book guy and also Gary Warner, our travel guy.
Okay.
Do you like the desert?
I love the desert.
Yeah, me too. You can
big fan.
Get bitten by a snake. You could fall into a well. You know, yeah.
Sounds so positive and fun.
Like a mine shaft. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you could
good times.
Slip, hit your head on a rock, and fall on the cactus. All kinds of things in the desert.
Yeah, it's great fun.
It's a lot of fun, and you can learn how to drive your car through a wash.
Yeah, but most importantly, you can stay out of the snow.
That's right.
The winter.
Because 50% of the country is in the snow, but the desert is not.
That's right.
Although some deserts
deserts can get snow.
Some deserts have snow.
Yeah.
All right. We were not talking about animals just yet. And Aaron, you usually have animal stories for us ready to go. And you have one out of Ireland.
Yes.
You want to tell us about that?
Yes, I will. This is actually started out as a sad story, but now it's taking a positive turn. There is a bull in Ireland named Benji, and apparently he is the gay bull of Ireland. That's what he's been named.
The gay bull of Ireland
because he was supposed to get on with the ladies, and he did not. He did not like any of the girls. Well, they brought in a new bull, and apparently he was more attracted to him than the ladies. So he was facing execution.
Ooh.
They were going to execute him because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, good news is there is a man named Sam Simon. He's the co-creator of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And he's been struggling with cancer, and he's been donating a lot this last year. Well, he heard about Benji, and he took it upon himself to help save him, and they're now going to move him into more of a posh, beautiful place for him to live out the rest of his days. So Benji, the gay bull of Ireland, is going to now enjoy his life and maybe meet a nice man in his new place.
What evidence did they have to prove that Benji was attracted to the other male bull?
They didn't say, but he just put his attentions on him than the females.
Because
that's
isn't
all
that
they say.
Sort of hard evidence that being gay is a genetic thing and not a learned thing.
I think so.
We don't need to open that can of worms, but if a bull's doing it, if an animal's doing it. All right, well, let's just open that can of worms. No.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think, hey, if he likes them, he was born that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Bull baby, you were born that way.
Yes, he was. And he's very cute.
Yeah. Hey, you know Costco. You ever go to Costco? Big warehouse membership place?
No, you get in trouble there.
For what?
For buying too much stuff.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you just walk in the door and they say...
They're like, get her out of here.
Wrap you on the wrist with a ruler. Well, you know how they sell the that hot dog soda combo?
Yeah.
For
it's
a buck
good
50?
Usually too,
a
right?
A buck 50. What? Talk about value. Anyway, the Costco hot dog soda combo is so popular that the Costcos around the country serve 100 million hot dogs a year. And get this, that's four times more hot dogs than all of the Major League Baseball stadiums combined.
Wow.
They're not going to be eating Benji there, though.
No.
What?
No Benji dogs. Now, and those aren't little wiener dogs either. I mean, they sell a good dog there at Costco,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's
a nice sized dog in a 16-ounce
Coke. No, they're not the little
Coke.
They're not the little shriveled ones with that rainbow sheen on them.
Right, yeah.
Oh, shriveled hot dogs. Yummy.
It's not one of those little Oscar Mayer wieners. I mean, it's a good dog.
Here's a little tidbit I didn't realize. Did you know that Big Bird almost died in space?
No.
Mm-hmm. Carol Spinney is the puppeteer who plays Big Bird. Carol was invited to fly on the shuttle Challenger as Big Bird to get more kids interested in NASA. But the costume couldn't fit inside the capsule where they hang out in the space shuttle. So he didn't go.
Wow.
And if you've forgotten, the Challenger exploded during takeoff. So that is something.
I had no idea. Yeah, I wonder how you live your life after that, knowing that could have happened to you. And
probably
then,
very gratefully.
Yeah.
And thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite guitarist of all time? Did you say Joe Pesci? No? Okay.
He's on my list, though. You know, top 5, 10.
Joe Pesci was in the same band in the 1960s, Joey D and the Starlighters, as was Jimi Hendrix.
Oh,
now,
they're comparable.
Now, they weren't in at the same time. They played with Joey D and the Starlighters about 5 years apart, but they were both guitar players in the same band, and both took very different routes. You see, Jimi Hendrix died. Oh, no. Pesci became an actor, and Hendrix is renowned as one of the greatest guitar players to ever live.
So then was that like definitely a step up then from maybe Joe Pesci to Jimi Hendrix for that band?
Yeah, perhaps it was. And the thing is, I had no idea that Joe Pesci was a guitar player.
Mm-mm.
So do you think he's any good?
He's probably all right. He seems like a multi-talented guy.
Think he's as good as Hendrix?
No, come on. Who is?
But now we know he's a double, triple threat.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Double, triple. By the way, it's also possible to be denighted in England. If you've committed a crime, you're sentenced to at least 3 years in prison. The king or the queen can denight you. Five people have been denighted in this past century. So what do you think of that?
I think that I wonder how they denight you. I wonder what the process is. Because if they tap you on the shoulder and on top of the head with the sword to knight you, to denight you, do they, like, chop your arm off?
And say good night?
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Off with your head. That's how you get denighted.
My goodness. All right. Well, there you go. A couple of tidbits you didn't know. That's it for hour one of the show. More to come, including stuff that's actually scheduled when we think it is. And it's the best time of the year to travel to the desert. Our travel guide takes you to the best spots. Plus, a new recognized religion that worships flying spaghetti. It just got more legitimate. Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
Yeah.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. In this hour, Gary Warner, our travel guy, takes us to the top spots in the desert. Plus, why are things that are marketed to women always pink? The friends are here, Aaron Myers, Chris Martin, Jay Campadonia has the day off. You say we get things rolling here. Aaron, we know that up in Washington, recreational marijuana is free and legal. Well, it's not free. You got to pay for it, but it's legal. They voted for it, and more states are getting that on the ballot. But how are they doing up there in Washington?
They're doing pretty good, or at least there is a guy that's now doing really well. Washington had their first marijuana auction. And it was a guy who owns Fireweed Farms, and it's in Prosser. And so he sold about 300 pounds of pot to state-licensed retailers and processors. And he made about, like I said, $600,000. And I guess you couldn't sample the product. You couldn't light up or do any of those things, but you could smell it to see if it was of good quality.
Yeah.
And now this guy pretty much did this so he can, you know, relax for the rest of the year and spend time with his family.
Oh.
Yeah, and he actually donates some of the money to schools, too. So
there's a business out there. Mm-hmm. There's a market.
Oh, yeah.
You said 300 pounds for $600,000?
So about 300 pounds. That's what it says in the article for $600,000.
So apparently marijuana goes for $2,000 a pound, in case anybody wanted to hear the math on that.
Lots of math going on today.
Sure.
Yeah, sure is. You ever try doing that auction lingo? Not easy, but you could just Google it. They've got auction chance. They've got all the different words that you could use. Dollar bid now. Will you give me, you know, will you give me $2? $2 now. Will you give me, you
come
know.
On, give it a real effort.
What? I can't do
hard.
It.
Let's hear it.
I don't know how people...
You know, it's difficult to do. You got to sit there and practice it.
There's schools for it. I mean, there's, you know.
Going once, going twice.
There are full-on schools on learning how to.
Sold to the lady with the stupid hat.
To the lady with the long black dress who just won my heart. It was no contest.
Wow, look at you.
With the ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes, I'm about to bear my heart. Good man.
I could count on you in every case.
That's right.
You know, I get all kinds of grief that I don't sing more on the program. And I say, why should I sing when we have Chris?
Yeah.
That's John Michael Montgomery, Grundy County Auction.
Look at that.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Taking it old school.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Sometimes when you park your car, they just, you know, the city just doesn't deal with it after the first or second parking ticket. Here comes the tow truck and you're gone.
Or yeah, especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they'll stick a boot on your tire. You can't move your car anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different in other places, though.
Oh, yeah. Apparently in the UK, there's been a Mercedes parked in this parking structure, pretty much abandoned because it now has $22,000 worth of parking tickets. And it's been there for 3 years.
Why don't they just tow it away?
They said they're going to soon, but they've waited for 3 years. They do things slower there, apparently.
$22,000 of parking tickets. Like, that guy's going to pay. So I wonder what happens if he doesn't pay.
I don't know. They didn't say. They said that the car just looks like it's been there forever. They've been trying to locate the owner, but doesn't seem like he or she wants to be found.
Yeah.
But they have 7 days, and then they're going to finally tow the car.
Whole bunch of people have found a new religion. Tell us about that, Aaron.
Yeah, apparently in Salt Lake City, there's a woman who just went to go get her driver's license photo taken, and she wore a colander or, you know, one of those spaghetti pasta strainers.
The strainer.
Yes, on top of her head. And it's because she is part of the satirical church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, otherwise known as Pastafarianism. And I really don't know much about it, except that it started in 2005 as a protest against teaching intelligent design as an alternative to evolution in Kansas schools.
Mm-hmm.
And Utah says they've had about 12 people take pictures
like
this.
So they're trying to be absurd to point out, in their opinion, what they believe to be absurd.
Yes.
But in the meantime, what happened to the DMV?
They take pictures with colanders on their heads.
And
it's
so
allowed,
thus legitimizing a satirical religion.
Yes, it's legit there. And I think it's kind of cool. Who doesn't want to wear a strainer on top of their head like that? That's
I don't.
Awesome.
Yeah, me neither.
I think it's awesome.
I'll pass. I think it originated in 1998 as a skit on SNL.
Yeah. So that's where they got it from?
Right.
Okay. I like throwing spaghetti, though.
That's how you know it's done. If it sticks to the wall.
Mm-hmm. Against the wall or against the fridge.
See if it sticks.
Yeah. But then who gets to eat that piece when it sticks?
I'll do it.
Will you?
Oh, yeah.
Just rinse it off first?
I got a gut like a junkyard dog. There's not much I won't eat.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember one time my aunt left a sponge out on the counter. I thought it was cheese.
And you ate it?
Just went for it.
Wow.
Sister was playing on the ground with her multicolored beads.
Talk about like your antacids.
Yeah.
All right. We have some sports news to report here. It's actually kind of an old-timer day story from you, Chris. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Jose Canseco.
I remember him.
Yeah, he's a big-time home run hitter back in the day. He's always been sort of the center of controversy. And sticking to that note, he recently shot his own finger off.
I don't know.
Yeah, and how do you do that? That's a great question. Same way Plexico Burris shot himself in the leg, I guess.
Yeah.
And so what happens is he shoots his own finger off, and this thing's sort of hanging on by a flap and part of the bone, and he decides he's going to try to reattach it. And I don't think they did a very good job. Because he's playing a poker tournament recently, and his finger just fell off onto the table.
During the card game.
During the card game, yeah.
Oh, that was his ante.
Yeah. Right. And so now...
No, it's the flop.
Always being a little bit uncouth, he's decided that he's going to sell the finger on eBay.
Oh.
He says the eBay ad will read... Slightly used middle finger with 462 home runs could be used as a stirring straw for drinks.
Aww.
And on top of that, he's thinking about packaging it with the gun that he blew his finger off with. It's a .45 caliber Remington with chrome mirror finish and custom grips.
Wow.
He's thinking about making a combo sale.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you get
and people will pay for it.
You know, sure.
Sports memorabilia.
You're going to put the finger in like a jar, though, with liquid to keep it nice, at least, so it doesn't rot.
You got to do something to make sure that it doesn't rot.
If I'm paying for it, I want it to look good.
Got to be
in
one of those little plexiglass square boxes that the baseballs come in.
Yeah, but once you petrify it somehow, yeah. And then people come in and go, wow, what is that? And
you could just,
Jose Canseco's
finger. Could just get some spray at the Home Depot, right? Some of that shellac spray?
Yeah, just spray it down with some lacquer thinner. It'll hold.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Know anybody, Chris, that's given birth lately?
I do, actually. I know a dog. I know. Oh, I was going to say the B word. I probably shouldn't go there. But yeah, a Great Dane mother.
Oh, it is a dog.
Right. See? So it would have been applicable, but I wasn't quick enough to the trigger. A Great Dane in Pennsylvania had 19 puppies.
Oh, how is that possible?
I don't even know. The story blows my mind because a Great Dane's a big dog, but I mean... 19 puppies. How does any animal have that much room in its stomach to carry that many little
bodies? Not all at once, but I mean, if you do them one at a time, you get a reality show.
Right, yes. Yeah. So the Great Dane gives birth to 19 puppies. They all survive.
Aww.
You know, I don't know if that would have happened 50 years ago or if the Great Dane had to survive out in the wild, but...
Well, back in the day when Great Danes roamed wild.
They lived in the wild ever I was one.
Uh-huh.
And you had 19 puppies. I mean, there are only so many taps at the bar, right, when the babies are suckling their moms.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And so it's bound to happen that 6 or 7 or 8 or maybe even a dozen of those puppies are going to be malnourished and they're going to get left behind for the pack of wolves to eat for dinner.
That's Darwinism, right? Survival of the fittest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, all of those, who would otherwise be runts in somebody's meal would get to grow up and be somebody's pet.
Yeah, because they'll just bottle feed them. You know, you get these veterinarians to... jump onto the case, they bottle feed these little puppies, and they all survive.
I wonder if there's any maternal instinct that turns on the scrawny ones in the animal kingdom when you've got that many pups.
I think so.
I think they eat them.
They do, yeah.
Or they push them off a cliff.
Yeah,
you know,
they're like, you're not going to make it. See ya.
Yeah.
Oh, poor puppies.
You think?
No.
Okay, maybe not. All right, I just have to double check. Is the Kelley Blue Book guy next?
Yes, sir, he is.
All right. There's confirmation. The Kelley Blue Book guy is next. I'm not going to repeat everything that I said the first time, but if you're shopping for a car and you want to know which are the best buys out there, why not look at the Kelley Blue Book Best Buys for 2015 list? And we're going to hear from I think he owns Kelley Blue Book. That's why he's going to be on the show next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. Tell your friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are here. Jay has the day off. You know, does this happen to you? You negotiate a price on a car, a lease or a loan, whatever it is, and it's basically in the ballpark, maybe $50 more than you were willing to spend per month to get this to happen. So you get the car home, you're happy, you did a good job. Immediately what happens the following days, you start seeing ads on TV for cars that are remarkably much more sexy and powerful than the car you got for exactly the same payment. Does that happen to you all the time?
Yeah, it's rough. Mm-hmm.
Not you, Aaron. You've got like a rocket ship for a car. You've got a beautiful car, but I'm just saying that you get home with something, you think you got a pretty good deal, and then you realize, I paid that much for this car, and I could pay that much for that car? Mm-hmm. I wish somebody would go to talk to me first. Like maybe Jack Nerad. He's the executive director of Kelley Blue Book, and he joins us live now. Hey, how are you, Jack?
I'm terrific. I'm not sure that I can solve that problem, though.
Oh, yeah. It's an
existential problem, right?
It is, because you step foot in somebody's car lot, and if you get out of there alive, good luck. KBB.com is the website, and we have a link to this list we're about to talk to on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Tell us about the criteria you used to come up with the best buys in cars and trucks for 2015.
Well, certainly best buys implies what it's about. It's about value for money. And, you know, the great thing about working for Kelley Blue Book, which I've done for the better part of 10 years now, is we have a lot of data. We have tons of data on cost to own, things on depreciation, on maintenance, on repairs, on insurance costs, on finance costs, any kind of cost that's involved in owning a car, we have chapter and verse on. And beyond that, I have a dedicated group of guys and women who are testing cars every day in the real world. So that combination is what allowed us to put together.
And let me just tell you, that is the dream gig for so many people, where they get paid to just drive every car that ever comes out.
It is a dream gig, and I've been lucky to do it for the better part of 30 years now, so I feel very blessed.
How about that? Hey, does popularity factor in at all on the list?
Well, it does in terms of sales popularity. We didn't want to choose cars that are very esoteric out on the edges of the industry, because when you go to sell them, that could be a problem. So many of these vehicles are pretty tried and true.
Yeah. All right. So for the best buys for 2015, you break things up into categories, right?
Yeah, we think it's critical to break things up into categories. And we think that's a differentiator between us and other awards that are out there. Because, you know, I think the minivan buyer is way different than the sports car buyer, who is way different than the luxury sedan.
Well, I beg to differ. The minivan buyer is somebody who wishes they could drive a sports car, but they're not in that stage of life right now, and they're forced to get a minivan.
Ain't it the truth?
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah. Go ahead. Give us a look at some of these categories.
That's very valuable, you know, to make it real for people by giving them categories in which they can choose.
Okay. Give us a look at some of these categories then, will you?
Well, small car category is maybe a great way to kick off. The Honda Civic is the winner in that category. You know, that's a vehicle that just checks all the boxes for a small car buyer. It's got great fuel economy. You know, it's fun to drive. It's good looking.
Holds its value.
Very, very versatile. Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to get to that. It holds its value really, really well.
Well, see, I know because I had one for a while. It was the first car from my youngest daughter. And when it came time to sell it, I put it on Craigslist. It was sold in a half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. They have that reputation for longevity that really translates into great resale value. So that was something that keyed into it.
Yeah. Frankly. So how about something a little bigger?
Well, on the large car side, our large car might be a surprise to some people. It's the Chevy Impala.
Ooh.
And, you know, there was a time when they sold something like a million full-size Chevys. That was in the 60s. These days, they sell a lot fewer than that, but we really like the Impala a lot. There are some good cars in that category. The Toyota Avalon is another logical choice in that category, but we just think that the Impala outdid the Avalon. And in things like longevity and, you know, fun to drive, things you wouldn't necessarily expect.
Yeah, and for a guy my age who's ridden in 1960s vintage Impalas, I would love nothing less than for the Impala to be cool again. And it just hasn't been cool for decades.
And I would say take a look at this current one because it's, you know, it has a lot of echoes of the, you know, mid-60s. My family, we had a 66 Impala that was, you know, one of our favorite cars of all time. And it was just, you know, terrific car all the way around. And I think there are a lot of echoes of that in the current Impala.
Can you get the red and white leather bucket seats without the headrests on them?
Sadly, no.
Okay, just checking. You know the kind I'm talking about.
Far, yeah.
The whiplash seats. All right, so what else? What other categories should we look at here?
Well, another hot category, a super hot category, is the small SUV category, the crossover category.
Oh, yeah.
And the Honda CR-V is our winner in that category. And that's the fastest growing category in the market. And it seems a lot of people are gravitating to those things. They like that higher seating position. The CR-V is, again, another one of those vehicles that, you know, is hitting all the high points of that for that buyer. Again, great resale value, of course, great fuel economy, great versatility in that vehicle, you know, fold down seats, a lot of carrying capacity. So it's a vehicle that in a lot of ways is replacing the family sedan. People are going to these crossovers that, you know, essentially are in a kind of way a substitute for a station wagon.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
And, you know, with that kind of utility.
Well, now, we don't want to give up the entire list, but you have an overall winner, which I found surprising. And I must tell you, of all the cars that I've owned, I had one of these about 10 years ago. And it's still, to this day, I will say it is the best car, the most comfortable ride, just all around the most enjoyable vehicle I've ever owned. And it's surprising to me that something I believe is actually borne out in the KBB list.
Well, I think you should join our staff because you're obviously a very discerning tester. And, you know, what we're talking about is the Ford F-150 pickup truck. And we really think this time around, it is a vehicle for a lot of people, number one, but also the innovation in this vehicle. It's got an all-aluminum body now, high-strength steel frame, and, you know, much lighter than pickup trucks of years gone by, yet with absolutely the same, if not better, utility and payload and ability to tow. And I spent the day yesterday, this is an odd day that I spent, but I was in Manhattan, driving around Manhattan with various media members in an F-150.
Wow.
And, you know, you're talking about folks in New York who don't drive a whole bunch, and they were blown away.
Yeah.
Absolutely blown away with the interior, how plush and luxurious it was.
And with that aluminum body, we're talking pretty good gas mileage?
Yeah, yeah, excellent gas mileage. They are able, because of the aluminum body, to install a 2.7-liter turbocharged engine as one of their engine choices. So that's super fuel economy, and that's the reason they went that way.
Now, one last thing before we let you go, Jack. When people need help during the buying process, what kind of consumer tools can they find at KBB.com?
Well, a ton of them. Doing your research is an important factor, and consumers should realize that they really hold all the cards. They probably don't feel like it when they're going into a dealership. But if you can afford to buy a new car, you're a fairly rare person
in
the country these days, and you have a lot of leverage. So if you understand what your current vehicle is worth, which we can help you with at KBB.com, if you understand what people are paying for the vehicle you're about to buy, you have a lot of ammunition in your in your weapon there to help you make a good deal.
Yeah. I wish KBB.com was around in 1979, maybe 1980. I think it was 1980 when I sold my 1963 Corvair 700 with a beautiful blue paint job, black leather seats, and a yellow surf rack on the top.
Wow.
And I had kids at the local high school outbidding each other for that car. But my dad, who originally bought the car new in 1963, said, that car's not worth more than $400. And I said, Dad, a surfboard costs $400, and this is going to transport the board to the beach. I got guys willing to pay me $1,200 for it. He said, nope. Not a penny more, $400. I said, okay, I'll sell it for $1,200. I'll give you the $400. We'll call it a deal. He said, nope, $400. So he sold the car to a kid for $400. A week later, the kid totaled it.
Painful.
Yes.
On all counts.
So where was KBB.com back in 1980? Please.
Yeah.
No, anyway, hey, pleasure to talk with you, and we love the list. Again, the list is linked on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com, or simply go to KBB.com. And Jack Nerad with Kelley Blue Book, thank you very much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.
We enjoyed the ride. Thank you. How about that, guys? A truck, top of the list.
That's cool, actually. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know that Ford and Chevy and Dodge, they love selling the trucks because that's where all their profit is.
Yeah.
And in fact, every time they sell one of those hybrid cars, that really, it's kind of a scam. They get credits so that they can sell more of their trucks. Because they've got those hybrid cars. It's all a game that they play. You know that, right?
Well, it makes sense that that's where the money is, because the trucks aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
You know, you're talking $40,000, $50,000 for a new F-150.
They don't cost that much more to make than they do a sedan, do they?
Probably not, yeah.
It's a question for the Kelley Blue Book guy. Hey, coming up, we celebrate great desert getaways with our travel dude. That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're going to take a trip now on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Do we have him? Emma, is this the right segment? Okay, just making sure. I don't know what's happened to me today. I must have bumped my head without knowing it. You know, the desert may seem to you like a big wasteland, but there are so many things to do in the desert and some great deserts to visit. Our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here. And he's going to vouch for me on this, right, Gary?
Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite times of year, when it gets nice and cool out in the desert. You can get out there and enjoy it.
All right.
Breaking the sweat.
You get a whole bunch of growth out there as well during this time of the year, assuming that there's a little bit of rain ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the tail end of all this, the spring in Anza-Borrego Desert State Park in the eastern part of San Diego County, famous for its wildflowers, that usually starts around February, March. Gorgeous place that, you know, just cascades of flowers. It makes you understand that the desert is not a dead place. It's just a place of a different kind of life.
Yeah, that's for sure. So would you say Anza-Borrego is your first stop?
Oh, no, that's my last stop of the year. Really, oh. But for me, the first stop, of course, is out in Palm Springs. You know, it's such an easy drive out there. You forget how close it is. And November is the first month where the temperature probably won't get up above 80 degrees during the day. I mean, it's really nice. And then December, you know, you're going to get down into the 70s. And it can actually get cold. You don't really want to go out to the pool at some of these resorts. But the life really kicks off there, the social life. You know, the film festival runs right after the first of the year, January 2nd to 12th. And then this is going to be the 10th anniversary of one of my favorite events in the whole United States, and that's Modernism Week, February 12th to the 22nd. It's the 10th anniversary. And that's basically the culmination of the movement that recognized the little houses and motels out there that were influenced by the desert architecture, and really were given kind of a reprieve in the last 10 years rather than being torn and become a hot property.
Do you prefer like a hotel trip, or would you rather do the RV thing so you could be out and stare at the stars at night?
I'm actually in between. I like a motel trip, particularly a place like Palm Springs. When I talk about Palm Springs, really, you know, that's sort of a short hand for all of those resorts out there that stretch out, you know, Rancho help me here.
Rancho Mirage.
Right, right. Matt Rancho Mirage. Everything basically down to Indio along the.
But not 29 Palms. Not 29.
But not 29 Palms.
No.
29 Palms, other area. Well, you know, 29 Palms has really come up in the last few years. You know, I mean, I remember it when I was the military reporter. It was just a desert military camp with a few motels out there.
Yeah.
But some of those motels have become quite hip in the road, basically from 15 out to 29 Palms. Takes you through sort of the edge of Joshua Tree National Park,
which is and a beautiful place in itself.
Gorgeous spots out there, and there's some rentals and some of these motels that have been refurbished can really give you that sort of open air out in the desert feel.
And there's nothing like staring at the stars in the middle of the desert.
I mean, the stars are just awesome. You know, if you can get away from the light pollution of Southern California, there's areas in New Mexico where you can go down and they'll rent you a cabin with a telescope. So you can look at the stars, and you know, we here in Southern California really don't realize that we're in the middle of a universe. You know, you look up in the sky here and you maybe see, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 stars.
Yeah, it's breathtaking.
When you get out there, oh, it's just awesome.
A shooting star awesome. Every 30 seconds or so.
Yeah.
How about all the abandoned stuff that's out there in the desert? I used to enjoy that, and I don't know if it's the same as it was maybe in the 70s and early 80s, but you could go out there and there would be old cabins with stuff inside that was from a bygone era, come away with some of those glass insulators they used to put on the telephone poles around the train tracks, all that sort of thing. Is that still around, or has that all been scavenged?
They're all meth labs now. It's pretty much all been scavenged. There used to be a great spot out. There's a street called, I think it's like XYZ Street out there. It's off of
Zizix is what we Zizix. Used to call it. Yeah, Zizix.
And they used to have the world's loneliest phone booth out there, which was actually a phone booth that they kept operational. It was out in the middle of nowhere. People would just go out there just to make a phone call from the world's loneliest phone booth. Well, with cell phones, it fell by the wayside, and it's I think just a spot out there. Slab City's another spot out there where there's just all these slabs of it where they used to do camping and RVing, still do sometimes. So some of it's out there, Phil, but it's not like it was in the 70s. I know what you mean.
Let you still kind of tool around in the abandoned silver mines, or is that all off limits these days?
You know, I haven't done that, so I wouldn't want to say kids, come on out, go to the land in silver mines, you know. But
there's some dangerous spots there because you could fall down a shaft if you're not careful.
Real dangerous spots out there, and there's still some rough characters out there too, you know. You just gotta kind of watch yourself in those areas, you know. Desert Hot Springs has been always trying to come back, always trying to, you know, have its heyday the way that Palm Springs has, and it just hasn't quite been able to turn that corner. There's a few nice spots there, but also there's a lot of kind of shady folks.
Yeah. All right. So what do we have? We have the Mojave. We have the Sonoran Desert, which goes all the way up into the Colorado Desert, and then what else? The Anza Borrega. You mentioned that.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of my favorites are basically in Arizona. You know, Scottsdale, that area is just absolutely gorgeous during the wintertime. They have this thing that starts right after Thanksgiving and runs until Christmas called Las Noches de las Luminarias. It shows you that I studied German.
Yes,
there
of
in
course.
High school.
Nachos with lights. Is that what that is?
Well, it's basically the night of the lights. They at the Desert Botanical Garden, which is an awesome place to visit. All the native plants out there. They put those luminarias. They're basically on the ground and they're candles and like a sack. All through the pathways there, and it's just really kind of magical to walk around there, and that's between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Now, one thing that people I think forget, and correct me if I'm wrong, you think about the desert, you think it's real hot, but you could freeze to death this time of year at night in the desert, right?
It's freezing out there. Like I said, you know, the average high temperature in Palm Springs in December is 79. I think it's lower in January and February. So no, it's really, really cold out there. This is a place where you're going to want to bring your jackets and things like that. I remember taking my family to do a preview of spring training. So we had to go in January, and we went out and stayed out at a couple of the hotels out there with these great pools in the Scottsdale, you know, area, Tempe area. And except for a couple that kept them heated, they were really cold. They were cold. You know, yeah. You come down those big old slides, and of course the kids are going to do it no matter what. But, you know, they had to have, at that age, they had to have dad with them. Dad's just like, you know, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah, I know it. Well, I love the desert. I've always loved it. And just talking to you about it.
This time of year.
Makes me want to go back and check it out once again. So which is the one that you've been to most recently?
The one I've been to the most recently is Scottsdale, that area. I have some family out there, so I go and visit. I love that. But Palm Springs is really the one that I grew up with. I'm old enough to have gone there for spring training for many years with the Angels.
Yeah.
It used to be great. They used to let us sit down the right field line and with the players.
Look at the life you've led.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Look at this.
It's been a great life.
Scariest desert. Would that be driving the 10 through the Chihuahuan Desert in Texas?
Oh, gosh.
On five different occasions you come to an intersection for the 666 highway.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of strange stuff with bad names out there. You know, although, you know, there's a town out there called Truth or Consequences. And people think that's one of those old-time Western towns, you know, that was named that. No, it was named that in the 50s for the game show.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, but yeah, no, you know, anywhere when you get down around the border area, you can run into some risky business if you get too close down to the border.
And even if you're on the 10, bear in mind, there's about a 320-mile stretch with no gas stations.
No gas stations out there. And it's just really, it's a different kind of barren. And you know what? A desert is a desert not because it's hot; it's because it's arid, and there's not water, you know, out there during winter, just like there's not water out there during the summer. And it'll kill you either way.
Yeah, and I could tell you, when you run out of gas at night on the 10 and that 320-mile stretch, the guys you go to ask for help will be two guys at a campfire with a pickup truck and a dog.
You got it.
I just tell you, that's what you're going to come across.
So, yeah.
So it's going to test your mettle right there in the desert.
Test your mettle right there. Right
well,
there.
Gary Warner, great to talk with you. Where are we headed next time? We're right smack in the holiday season, so
well,
I imagine.
You know, yeah, I think we're going to start looking at some of my favorite Christmas getaway spots, you know, places where you can really feel that connection to old St. Nick and have a great time. Yeah. You know, a lot of the ones that are gone, you know, Santa's Village up in Lake Arrowhead area, that's gone. But there's still some great places you can go and really have a dose of Christmas.
Very good. Gary Warner, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next time.
Take care.
All right. Okay, we had the list earlier in the program of the best buys in vehicles. And coming up next, the best and worst dogs. Plus, why is it that when something comes out and it's for the ladies, somehow the marketing geniuses believe it's got to be pink? And you won't believe what they've come up with for the ladies. And yes, it is pink. And these stories and more coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Yes, you are who you think you are, and you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Chris and Aaron are here. Jay has the day off. I'm Phil. Thank you for tuning in. All right, so we have the list of the best buys for automobiles, courtesy of the executive editorial director of Kelley Blue Book. The guy knew his stuff. What a job, huh? Driving all kinds of cars for a living. Just driving them around once a week, twice a week, something like that. But now we know, Aaron, the best and worst dogs, courtesy of whom?
This is from the 87. Oh, where am I looking at this?
It's not there?
I don't see it. No.
Somebody put a list together?
We made it
up.
It's
a new study, it says. That's all. Yeah. Doesn't say where.
That's how all studies come about, Phil. Some people get around a table and they say, hey, you know what I think the best dog is? We should put this on the internet.
I'm going to say it was Emory University.
There you go.
That did it.
Probably.
Yeah?
They do a lot of.
Credit them for everything.
It says a new study. It ranked 87 of the most popular dog breeds from best to worst, and they based it on cost, intelligence, health, lifespan, and how easy they are to groom.
Yeah.
So the best dog is the Border Collie.
Oh,
yes.
I was going to say Labrador.
Is that the smartest dog,
too? It is. It says they're the most intelligent breed. They live an average of 12 and a half years. They're pretty cheap, and they're easy to groom.
12 and a half years. All right, set the timer, people.
Yes. And then the worst dog, the Bulldog.
Oh,
yeah.
Why is that?
Well, they're not the brightest in the bunch. They live an average of 6 years, and they have a lot of health problems.
Oh, yeah. Their face is all scrunched up, and so they get asthmatic or something.
Yeah,
right?
My grandpa had a bulldog, actually, and he did. He lived right about 6 years, and he was the sweetest thing, but not the brightest, and definitely problems.
Make great footstools, don't they?
They're cute. They are cute dogs. But they you know, you get attached to your pets, and 6 years isn't a long time.
Well, what
to
can
have
you do
one.
With legs that are like 2 inches long?
Not
waddle.
Much.
Yeah. Right? And all that girth on top of it.
Yeah.
Because they're girthy dogs,
yes,
right?
Yes, and they do. They have those, like you said, their breathing problems and things like that. So.
Yeah, and they get spit all over the place, don't they?
Yeah. And then there are a lot of big dogs on the list of the ones you don't want to have, like Great Dane, because same thing, they don't live that long. And, St. Bernard, Mastiff, Irish Wolfhound, Chow Chow.
Wow. Don't live long?
The Great Danes don't. These are just the rest of the bottom list of the ones that don't live as long, that might have problems, that cost a lot, grooming. And then a couple of the other top dogs are the Brittany, the Welsh Springer Spaniel, English Cocker Spaniel, Cocker Spaniel. So lots of spaniels on there.
None of those dogs will look good in the back of a pickup truck.
No. You need a back of a pickup truck. You want like a Rottweiler.
Yes.
You know.
But that Bull Mastiff would look great back there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
an
enormous
dog.
Bigger than a Great Dane.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thanks. Okay. So on to this thing about pink. Stuff for guys is blue, right? You get blue. You get camo. What are the other guy colors? Camo is a color, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's its own color.
Yeah.
Especially this month.
It is. But anything, especially this month.
Yeah, or veterans.
Oh, okay, fine.
You know,
around
the veterans time.
All right, I thought it was like...
See, every Sunday, the football players all have their camo colors.
Turkey hunting
too.
Or something like that.
Well, that too.
Right, but every time something comes out for the ladies, somehow, some way, the color is pink. It's, you know, what's out now that's pink?
Well, what's out now that's pink is Viagra. They're making a pink Viagra. At least they're trying to make a pink
for ladies?
Viagra.
They Viagra are. For ladies?
Really?
Yes, for women with sexual dysfunction.
Huh.
Which affects 1 in 10 women, by the way, which I think is significantly less than guys that get ED. But first of all, did you guys know that Viagra has been around for 15 years? How does that feel? Does that seem like a long time? Not or
it
just
seems,
about right? Huh?
No, it seems like a short time to me.
It does to me too. It seems like it's been around longer than that. I don't know why.
Yeah, it does seem.
So now, because Viagra and Cialis and all these other pills that they've come up with to help guys have been around for so long, there's a group of women out there that are saying, "Hey, what about us? How about helping us? Some of us don't have the drive. Is there something you can come up with?"
Yeah, but if your man takes the Cialis, you get to sit in those his and hers bathtubs and look out over the cliff.
Exactly
it's very romantic.
There's the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for 15 years now, they've changed commercials forever. Also, but there's a couple of campaigns. One of them is Women's Deserve, Women Deserve, and EvenTheScore.org, and they are backing a prescription medication called Flibanserin. And
Flibanserin,
which is supposed
to... It's
not
a sexy name.
Uh-uh.
No.
Yeah, hey, honey, why don't you open up the jar of Flibanserin?
Let's do this. Apparently, though, it's supposed to get these 1 in 10 women a little bit more spry and randy for their husbands.
Yeah.
And the problem is that it's not FDA approved. It's not getting FDA approved. And there's a reason for it, because pharmacists are saying, and a matter of fact, this is a direct quote, "The drugs didn't work, and they're unsafe. Not approving them isn't sexist. It's proper regulation." So
unsafe as in what?
Unsafe as in...
We don't know.
Well, you just don't know. How long can you run
the
studies without them being
effective? The scientists work diligently, day and night. They don't get any sleep. They work for 12 days straight, and they collapse in their laboratories. to come up with ways to grow hair and give guys erections for 4 hours. and they're not doing, in my opinion, the kind of work they need to do to help out the ladies.
Well, ladies don't experience it as much. And how many women are losing their hair and losing their erections?
Maybe there aren't enough ladies in lab coats. Is that what the problem is?
Maybe we need some more female scientists there, you know, out there.
Thus the push right now nationally to get more girls in elementary school to be interested in science.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Right?
Yeah, and the masses of people in general.
You want to get a cure for breast cancer or some of these other things, you know?
By the way, pink ribbon.
Yeah, it is pink too.
What's the ribbon for human papillomavirus? Pampeloma.
HPV?
Is it Pampelona? Pampelona, Pampeloma. One is a place. One's a virus.
That one's
you'd rather go to
black
the place.
And yellow, yeah. I think.
That's a black and yellow ribbon?
Yes.
Do they have ribbons for everything?
Yeah, of course.
Why not? We should start a ribbon campaign and not tell anybody what it means and see if it goes viral. And everybody could start wearing these ribbons. We could pick a color. How about camo ribbons?
I like it. Although I think they already have them.
Probably. But camo is very popular. There are a bunch of treats I've seen online, too, that they're decorating them in camo color to, like, cupcakes and things like that.
Camo cupcakes?
Yeah. It's very interesting.
So you can hide them in the kitchen?
Yeah. The kids won't see them. They won't mess up their dinner.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we were talking about love there. Well, sex. A moment ago. You know that special connection you feel when you kiss someone for the first time?
Aww.
That deep emotional feeling you think must be the seeds of true love? It's not. It's just the bacteria in your mouth saying, hey, this person's right. Researchers out of the Netherlands just released the results of a study on kissing and found what really goes on when you kiss someone for the first time. Quote, the first kiss serves as a useful mate assessment function and feelings of attachment. Kissing may contribute in mate assessment and bonding via sampling of chemical taste cues in saliva.
Yeah, but what about the part where it makes your hormones go nuts and all the blood rush to your...
Yeah, right. Well, in other words, since you're passing each other a lot of bacteria when you mash your tongues together, your brain reacts better when the bacteria in both of your mouths are similar and can work together. And they found that 90% of cultures worldwide tongue kiss. You transfer 80 million bacteria for every 10 seconds of tongue kissing, and people with similar bacteria in their mouths are more romantically compatible with each other.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it also says that we've transferred a lot of bacteria.
Let's kiss. Yes. Come here.
I'll watch that. That's funny.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at FAFShow. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our assistant in training, Richard Freifeld. He's right there. Our theme song, composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.